T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay. I appreciate everyone assembling here today. I thought this was an easier way to address the media than to do it one by one. I got many, many phone calls, as you could imagine, once 10 o'clock hit and Congressman Collins released his statement. So I'll start off with just some remarks. This has been a very sad week. Just when you start from the beginning with the indictment and the charges being leveled on Congressman Collins, and my heart goes out to his family as they deal with that. But I think today he made the right decision for the people of Western New York and the taxpayers of his district, where this his legal trouble has become a distraction upon the district, upon the campaign. This is the best decision for the Republican Party, so we can go forward with a fresh candidate and move ahead, because really the goal here is to ensure that a conservative Republican candidate that supports President Trump's agenda is elected to this seat, because that is what this district is made of. And to see a candidate that is a radical liberal like Nate McMurray, to see him elected to a seat that is overwhelmingly Republican, the most Republican district in New York State, because of a candidate's legal troubles, would really be a crime against the wishes of many of the voters. So I believe that this gives the opportunity for the party to have a fresh start. And I look forward to, in the days to come, meeting with my fellow county chairs, many of which — there's 8 in this district, there's 8 counties. The district consists of Erie, Niagara, Orleans, Genesee, and Wyoming counties, as well as Ontario County and a portion of Monroe County. I've talked to many of them individually. I look forward to us all getting together at a time very soon in the next couple of days. We're working on the logistics of that to lay out a process that the party will undertake to find a substitute candidate for Congress at this point. So I'm sure you have a lot of questions, and at this point I'll open up the floor.
So Nick, we've heard David Bellavia, we've heard Carl Palladino is now officially throwing his name in the ring. We've heard Pat Gallivan.
There is over 15 candidates, I believe, at this point that have expressed interest. I have 33 unlistened to voicemails right now, so there could be more. Basically the entirety of the Senate and the Assembly delegation are interested in pursuing the nomination, as well as private citizens like Carl Palladino, like David Bellavia, I just got off the phone with. There are many people, and the one thing I'm confident in is that whatever candidate that we can coalesce around, build consensus within the 8 counties on, will win this race, and we need that to be the case. I mean, this is a fresh start for the district. This is an opportunity for us to go forward. This is not an opportunity by design, obviously. This unfortunate set of circumstances is not one that the party anticipated, that the party wanted. But we have to function within the parameters that we're given at this late date, post-primary, with a vacancy that we're facing.
Chris Collins staying on the ballot. Can you comment on, will he stay on the ballot?
I believe that Chris Collins will find an avenue to get off of the ballot so we can replace him.
His name will not appear.
We believe that a new, fresh candidate can be nominated and will be.
How do you try to do that?
Doesn't that mechanism require you having to nominate him, or the chairs having to nominate him? Something else?
There are several opportunities for Congressman Collins to take himself off the ballot. He's a resident of multiple states, so that's one issue. He has homes in Florida and Washington. There are other offices that he could potentially be nominated for. There's a variety. Our legal team has been discussing this since the indictment came down. There's a variety of ways that he could take himself off the ballot, and in due time, we will cross that bridge.
How do you put someone else on the ballot once you find a candidate?
Once there's a vacancy. So for instance, what happens oftentimes in states are, or within a state, I'll give you a for instance. Rick Lazio, was defeated by Carl Palladino for governor in 2010. He was the nominee of the Conservative Party for governor. In order to leave that, he took a nomination for Supreme Court. Being that he was an attorney, he was able to take that nomination. He left the line behind and was able to be nominated for Supreme Court. That way, the vacancy that was left behind, the party leadership has mechanisms within state election law that allow them to fill vacancies. That vacancy existed. They picked the Republican nominee at the time, Carl Palladino, to be the Conservative Party's nominee to fuse those two lines.
So somebody would have to give up a position somewhere.
There would have to be a vacancy created. And you know, we're confident that there will be an opportunity to have Chris Collins' name come off the ballot at some point post primary.
Nick, how much control do you have over the candidate that's going to run in New York 27 versus the National Republican Committee?
Well, we want to be in full consultation with the NRCC. I mean, that's an important function to have a seat this Republican. I mean, last night I spoke at length. Chris Collins made the announcement first by a courtesy call to the Speaker of the House and to the national leadership with the Congressional Committee. And the executive director of the NRCC called me right away, who I've known for many years. And we had a lengthy discussion about the race, about the candidates, about the potential, and what could be coming down the path. So we will be in full consultation with them. I know the county leaders throughout the eight counties, we all want the same thing. We want to elect a conservative Republican that will help promote President Trump's agenda and keep this seat as a vote for a Republican for Speaker of the House.
How much is the White House involved? How much is the Trump administration involved in the candidate selection? I know there's pressure.
I don't believe there's been any pressure yet. No, there's not been an ounce of pressure. So anyone that's telling you that is fabricating that.
You don't think that the Trump administration has any kind of influence on...
I have received zero phone calls from the White House.
The names you mentioned earlier included names that have been kicked around, but I don't think Carl Palladino's name has surfaced quite as publicly until you just mentioned it.
Carl, I would just received a tweet on my phone on my way here from Bob McCarthy that he says he's interested. And Carl and I have had a conversation. He's kicking the tires. There's a lot of kicking the tires going on today.
His tweet said he's all in. What do you think about him?
Carl said I'm all in. I didn't see that tweet. I mean, I've seen several candidates say they're all in today, but there's only one can emerge from a process. So I don't have that process laid out yet. There will be interviews. There will be vetting. There will be screening. We need to make sure that whoever we put forward, and I think every one of the names forward so far are people that can hold the seat, and our far superior candidate is Nathan McMurray.
If you're not in a position to name a name yet, I understand that. Can you talk about the kind of candidate you want? Does any one of those people check all of your boxes?
I don't think there's a perfect candidate for any situation. Every candidate comes with pros and cons. I mean, there's people from elected service. There's people from the private sector. There's really, you have to have someone that has some political sensibility as to how it comes. A first-timer would probably not fit this so well. We are, Jesse, how many days to Election Day? I mean, we're under 100 days. 89 days to Election Day. So a first-timer would not probably be the best choice, someone that's never gone through the political process. This is as raw politics as it gets, because we as elected party leaders have to come together to choose a candidate. And unfortunately, we find this seat has had more vacancies than we have. We've been through it together before. The county leaders have worked well together. We're all very friendly and have good relationships. And I think that there's an opportunity for all of us to coalesce around a final candidate after, you know, we spend some time with the group. One at a time. It's got to be swift. As we said, it's 89 days to the election. So, the replacement paperwork, I don't know what the timeline will be. I mean, my guess is sometime post-primary. The state primary is, and when I say primary, I don't mean federal primary. I mean state primary. The state primary is September 13th, and that has some, things come after that have some ramifications due to New York State election law, which is very arcane.
What is his timeline for trying to get to another party line? Is that any time before?
Again, paper, many times papers can't be filled until...
Before the primary,
or no, it, that will papers will most likely be filed post primary.
You said this wouldn't be necessarily a good thing for a first timer, but also make the argument that the public, the voters, might love that, right?
Well, when I say it might not be the best thing for someone that's never sought political office or been involved in the political process, there's a learning curve every time we run a first-time candidate, and to have 89 days to go from 0 to 60 is very, very difficult. So, you know, the federal, you know, let's talk about campaign finances for a while. I heard a self-funder question. Obviously, funds are very difficult to raise. This is a Republican seat. The Republican nominee should have the opportunity to raise significant funds, but this is going to have to come with a network. It's going to have to come with credibility. The candidates can only raise $2,700 per person at this point in the game, because the federal primary has come and gone. So when you hear about multi-million dollar campaigns, well, you know, it takes 371 max out donors at $2,700 a piece to break $1 million. That is a significant sum. The campaigns are expensive because television time's expensive, radio time's expensive. Your fourth quarter is always pretty good because of all of the campaigns and the candidates that are running. So unfortunately, until they offer free airtime, it's going to take money to get there. So the candidate will have to answer campaign finance questions. They'll have to answer questions about their background. I mean, obviously, coming off of losing a congressman to an indictment on some very serious charges, we are going to have our guards up in a big way, vetting these candidates and making sure that their background is suitable for federal service.
This is war chest go back to the Republican Party, or is that something he had to disseminate or
should we get? It is between he and his treasurer at this point. He has not resigned his office, so there's no, once you resign, I believe that you have to give back donations that you raised in that quarter, but he is not resigning from what I understand, so there's no ramifications on his, I guess, retirement from Congress. He could theoretically give it to the NRCC and help them in that cause. I mean, so he has $1.3 million, I believe, in the bank that he's amassed.
Was suspending rather than resigning the best thing for him to do?
Well, I think that was the next step. You know, I think, you know, this has been a lot of pressure on he and his family. And my understanding, this came on relatively quickly. I don't think it's something that, you know, was 6 months in the making. My understanding is federal officials move swiftly. So, you know, obviously the media pressure is high. This is a way to take a little pressure off of his family. And I think him moving forward as an active candidate was just untenable. You know, Congressman Collins is now can focus solely on his legal defense and situation with his family.
The other day you told us you had not spoken with him. Have you spoken with him?
I have not spoken with him. I've spoken to his team many times. I mean, we have not spoken. And I have talked to people on his team and in his close intimates many times. We've talked back and forth through intermediaries.
The district is very Republican. Does this scare you? Talk a little bit about how likely you think it is that despite this turn of events, it'll stay a Republican district.
I feel better today than I did yesterday because this turn of events has shaken the community. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's when you see your elected officials, you know, arrested and indicted, it's jarring. It's jarring. And from our perspective, it's certainly jarring to our party. I mean, Chris Collins was someone that was a leader as county executive, a leader as our congressman, someone that we agree with, you know, his voting record in Congress and his support for President Trump has been, you know, unmatched in the Congress. We are sad by this entire situation. This allows a fresh start, us to move forward, not be mired down in his legal situation, and he can focus on his family, and I think he made the best decision for his family.
Do you think the race got tougher for Republicans because of this turn of events?
Of course it did. This was a race that I don't think any of you were taking very seriously at that point. I mean, you know, Nathan McMurray has been basically the court jester that the Erie County Democratic Committee has thrust on Chris Collins to annoy him. No one had taken that campaign seriously until then. I mean, he's from way outside of the district, an elected official way outside of the district. I mean, doesn't represent a single citizen in the 27th district. You know, his outlandish behavior in some of these videos he likes to make. I mean, he has been not taken very seriously, I don't think, by the press or the community. Now, given the fact that he was running against someone that was under indictment, things get real in a hurry. Now it allows us an opportunity to reset the dial, have a candidate that is steady, consistent, you know, and a conservative Republican that is going to go out there and fight and win for President Trump's agenda.
Of all the names that have been mentioned, at least in this room, and he's basically declaring it himself, is Carl's. I mean, when I say Congressman Carl Palladino, what's that make you think?
I mean, Carl Palladino is a dear friend of mine and always will be. So we're gonna talk about things going forward. I mean, this is, I have to do my job, which is to help with my colleagues and lead this process. I mean, I am the shepherd of the whole flock for the party. So I have to, let me just finish my question. I have to oversee all the races. This is something that has been a massive distraction from executing other campaigns that are ongoing and our responsibility to the statewide campaigns. We certainly thought the die was cast on this race. And now we find ourselves having to revisit it and whatever the aftermath is it. I mean, if it's a candidate that is from another race, do they have to get replaced? I mean, there's a lot of factors that'll go into this. This is a difficult situation to manage. We're trying to do it as openly and professionally as we possibly can.
Is those 15 that you mentioned possible? Mm-hmm.
I think many, many of them do, or at least represent chunks of. I've not heard of any candidate that doesn't at least represent, you know, candidates. I mean, if you look at the entire Senate delegation that has shown interest, all of them represent portions of it if they don't personally reside in it. You know, the assemblymen that have contacted us, all of them represent constituents within it, as well as, you know, obviously Carl Palladino is, he does not live in the district. He lives in South Buffalo, but
it, the same place, two people not in the district.
Potentially. I mean, I'm not saying that it, you know, there's a criteria. I have laid no criteria because I haven't sat with my colleagues. I need to hear their priorities. I want to hear the interests of not just the Republicans that I represent, but the Republicans that they represent.
Do you have a top five in your head?
No.
Right,
this is a wide open process. If people are interested in putting their name forward, they should contact us here at the Republican Committee. I see Tim Wanger's been volunteered to run.
What did you talk to David Bellavia about?
We had a nice conversation. We're going to get together in the next few days.
Can you walk us through sort of the benchmark goals that you have in the coming future when you make decisions and contact the candidates and potential?
Well, most of the candidates have contacted me. So as you can imagine, the press release I knew was going to hit at 10. And by 10:02, my phone kind of rang all day. So, and I just put it on the charger in the other room. I was pretty happy about that. But as a group, we'll lay out, we'll come up with a process in the next few days. We'll invite candidates that have identified themselves as candidates to come in and talk to us. And, you know, we have to do vetting. We have to do feasibility studies. We have to do probably some polling. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that go into something like this. So I'm not, you know, it's going to be a lot of work in a short period of time. But I'm confident that when the dust settles, that we'll have someone that all the people in the committee across the district can coalesce around and be confident that we'll hold the seat and make sure that come January 1st, that person is voting for a Republican for Speaker of the House.
More of the district is in Erie County than the others. Does your voice count more? Is it more likely that a candidate will be from Erie County?
Many of the candidates self-identified are from the western end of the district, from Erie or Niagara County, but that doesn't preclude anybody. I mean, Assemblyman Hawley comes from Batavia, represents Genesee and Orleans County. David Bellavia comes from Genesee County. There could be candidates on the east end I haven't talked to yet. I mean, that's why it's important that the chairs get together in a room. As you can imagine, a Saturday in August is hard to get anyone together. You know, we all have our lives and our family plans, and I'm sure you'd rather be doing something else than talking to me about this now, and I'd rather be, you know, with my wife and daughter somewhere. But this is the task at hand. We take it very seriously, and we will continue to work and I think work together to get the job done.
When is it? You know, when
you... We haven't set that date or time yet.
Is there a date in your head that you're saying to yourself, this is when I'd like to have this candidate ready by?
Well, again, 89 days to election. You know, I don't think we have much more than a week to 10 days to coalesce.
Thank you.
I mean, it's got to move relatively quickly, more so than probably other times, you know, where you have maybe a few months to vet candidates. Unfortunately, this is an unprecedented surprise.
If no one steps aside so he can move over to a different race, what happens then? If, in all likelihood, if it doesn't happen?
We believe, and what I'll say today is, we believe that we have mechanisms in place, mechanisms for Congressman Collins to come off the ballot.
Does any one of them include court?
He is not an attorney, so it will not be the court.
No, I mean, for you guys to go to court to get the replacement.
That is not a part of New York State election law, which is, as you, is probably... New York State election law prevails because they govern their ballots, and there's not a special, the only thing that I ever encountered that is federally specific is that when we have federal candidates, there's a different timeline for absentee ballots for the military. But what I would say to that is, New York State election law is probably the most litigated state's election law in the history of mankind. It's arcane, it's difficult. You know, when I speak with people in Washington or from other states, and I talk about what we go through for ballot access, they talk like I'm speaking Chinese. And it's just that unique to New York. So, you know, you've heard a lot before this of the discussion of Cynthia Nixon being replaced in a race for governor on a minor line so she doesn't split the vote, and they're running a placeholder. There's all sorts of games like this that go on each and every year because of loopholes in New York State election law.
If he does win, if he's in a ballot, he does win, what happens?
If he can't be removed from the ballot, and he is to win his seat in Congress, he will continue to serve. And then he will face trial, and then whatever happens, happens.
But the state can run a special election?
For Congress, if he was forced later to vacate, he would have to resign, and there would be a special election when those are called by the governor of the state. So, for instance, when Congressman Lee resigned in early February of 2011, we had a special election, and I believe it was May 24th, 2011. Not that that date's seared into my mind.
Is this district kind of jinxed, the 27th?
Boy, we've had a few jokes about that the last few days, some of my veteran pals and I. We, you know, there's been a lot of things. There's been some legendary governmental leaders that have come out of that district, people like Jack Kemp, Bill Paxton, Tom Reynolds, legendary figures. And unfortunately, we've had a couple, unfortunate situations too. It's any other questions?
Are you concerned about the potential of the Democrats and others spending a whole lot more money in the district on this race than the
county? They're very much working. We have not seen any ad buys placed at this time. We haven't seen any outside groups lay down traffic yet. I do know that in other parts of the state where there are real swing states or real swing seats in Congress, for instance, the district represented by Representative Claudia Tenney, which is Utica all the way down to Binghamton, Congressman Faso, those are major targets. Those are considered swing states. There is already TV ads flying on both sides. I don't believe at this point this race is made it there. Nathan McMurray's campaign has not, I think, crossed thresholds where the national party seems to take him all that seriously yet. And once there is a new nominee of the party, I believe this district becomes a safe Republican district. And we will work hard, hopefully in a very united front, to make sure that that happens.
Do you have concerns about turnout in light of this? Is it going to be harder to actually campaign?
Well, you'd be hard pressed to figure it out in Buffalo this week, but there are other campaigns going on. we have obviously a hot race for governor. We have a hot race for all sorts of state offices. I think we're going to have a very brisk turnout this year. I know that our voters are very motivated. And once we turn the page on this situation, I think the voters of the 27th Congressional District will be back at it and very motivated as well. I believe the legislature, by the county charter, would have to appoint a Republican, any Republican that they choose. So right now the majority is of the legislature is controlled by the Democrats.
How How much of the situation is affecting the down the line of candidates at this point?
I think everybody's a little uneasy this week because, you know, look what's on the front page every day. Look what's leading the news. I mean, it's not positive. It's not, it doesn't allow those candidates to help get their message out and things that, the good things that they're doing for the community. So, you know, people want to get bad news off the front page. And I think that obviously there will be a great deal of coverage of Congressman Collins' trial, but this ends the chapter of Congressman Collins', you know, political service. And he will no longer be a candidate, will not be issuing the things candidates do, and he will go back into to private life and prepare to defend himself in a court of law.
With this being an uncontested race, once you get a candidate, you think you can get the president here at campaign?
I mean, I don't count any chickens before I hatch, but I hope that the White House takes a keen interest in our candidate and helps us get the vote out here, because whoever is in this seat needs to be a key ally in passing the president's agenda, just like Congressman Collins did.
Has the NRCC promised to help you with this campaign?
I mean, they have been very cooperative so far. I mean, it's been less than it's been about 12 hours, so I don't necessarily have any direct asks into them yet. I mean, I have many contacts there and have worked with many people in senior leadership for a lot of years, so I know that they're a phone call away, and we will continue to consult with them along the way in this process, but we have our work to do locally. They don't, you know, I've never been one to be someone that lets the national committee come in and pick anything. We don't let the state committee come in here and pick anything. So we will do our job. We will work hard with local control and get the job done.
Address a little bit any pressure from you or others that was brought to bear against Congressman Collins.
I mean, again, I had no private conversations. I know that his handlers heard a lot from supporters, donors, other elected officials, people that, you know, wanted to see him do the right thing, and he did the right thing. And I appreciate him being willing to step aside and allowing us a fresh start, because it's so important to keep this seat in Republican hands. It's the most Republican seat in the country, as the Buffalo News editorial page said. And I don't read those too often, but said it's a Republican seat, and it had a front row to the support of the president, and it should stay that way. Was basically what I surmised from that, and that is really our mission. We have you know, good contacts in the White House without Congressman Collins. But at the same time, we need a member of Congress that can go and work with the White House as well, because there's key projects in Western New York that need the president's attention.
Are you surprised that the president hasn't weighed in on this yet, considering this was his first supporter?
You know, it happened pretty quickly. I mean, when you think about the fact that it was Wednesday morning, he was indicted. By Saturday, he has suspended his campaign and is out of the race. So it didn't really require the president to weigh in instantaneously on this. I mean, the president's got a lot on his agenda, that's for sure. So, any other questions? Yes?
Yes, you said that you've got pretty much a week to 10 days to get somebody, you know, ready for this. Are you confident that you're going to be able to do that?
Well, and that's it's part of the vetting. You know, we want candidates that know what they're doing, that have the ability to put the apparatus in place, that includes fundraising, that includes political know-how, that includes voting record, the background that is the appropriate background to go run and win.
Are you worried at all if you can't get his name off of the ballot that people will be confident enough to write in a candidate?
I mean, we'd cross that bridge when we come to it, but we, you know, with our legal team, we believe there is mechanisms in place to have Congressman Collins come off the ballot. Okay? I want to say that I answered every single question, so, you know.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking time out of your Saturdays. I know that a lot of other places people could be today. So, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.